Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Monday morning to you. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Got my cup of coffee this morning. And we are ready to unpack Revelation chapter 12. Except first, most importantly, we're not really ready because we need to pray and ask the Lord's help. Because as much studying and preparing as I do, unless the Lord blesses his word, it won't penetrate our hearts and have the powerful effect that he intends. We need the Holy Spirit. So let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit for his help. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us and calling us to be your own, and for gathering us together on this Monday morning to open up your word together, to be challenged, encouraged, blessed, and even changed by your word. So, Father, we pray that you be with us, and that you would keep us, and that you would bless us as we look to you. And we pray this, Father, speak to us, O Holy Spirit, write Revelation 12 on our hearts, and may it shape our lives deeply, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 12. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you, O earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. This Revelation 12 is the central chapter of the book of Revelation. It's the midpoint. And in biblical literature, it's very often important for us to focus on the midpoint, the hinge point, the center. This is also marked out for special consideration by the fact that John tells us this is a great sign that appeared in heaven. Now, the whole book of Revelation is full of signs, but this sign is called a great sign. And so this chapter deserves special attention. I also think it's one of the clearest chapters in terms of what is happening, but that doesn't mean that everything about it is equally clear. So let's unpack this together. First, there is this woman. And I believe that the symbolism associated with this woman clearly identifies her as Israel. You have the sun clothed, you have the moon under her feet, you have on her head a crown of 12 stars. 12 being the number of the people of God, 12 being the number of the tribes of Israel, also the number of the apostles of the Lamb. But at this point, we're talking about Israel. And part of this imagery goes all the way back to one of the earliest visions of Israel in the Bible, and that is one of the dreams of Joseph. You remember Joseph, the dreamer with the technicolor dream coat? He had a second dream. His first dream was about bales of wheat or sheaves of wheat bowing down to him. But the second was that the sun and the moon and 11 stars would bow down to him. And his father, Israel, Jacob, said to him, Are your mother and I and your brothers to bow down before you? So notice that you have sun, moon, 12 stars from this second dream of Joseph in Genesis. So I think this is Israel. Israel is pregnant. There's been a long period of waiting, but Israel is now pregnant, crying out in birth pains and in the agony of giving birth. Think about the long waiting, the long expectation. And then when Christ came into the world, think about Israel being in agony, waiting for the Messiah to be born. And then another sign appeared in the heavens. We don't really have to wonder who this is. This is Satan. But we can unpack a little bit about these heads and horns and crowns. Seven heads and seven diadems, because he is the God of this world. Adam was created by God in his image to be the sovereign over this world, to be under God over creation. And Adam submitted himself to Satan, put himself under the serpent's deceiving rule. And so since that time, Satan has been the god of this world, the god of this age. And so he gets this divine number of seven heads and seven diadems because for the people of this earth, he is, in fact, their god. Now, that doesn't mean that the people on the earth are explicit Satanists, but in reality, everyone in the world who does not belong to God, is not marked and sealed by God, in fact belongs to Satan. Just as Jesus said to the Jewish leaders who did not believe in him in his day, he said, you are children of your father, the devil. The devil is the father of lies. He is the god of this world. He is the god of this age. And he holds sway over all of those who do not belong to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sweeps down a third of the stars of heaven. These stars are angels, and this is a reference to his rebellion against God, and taking a third of the stars, a third of the angels, becoming demons. Like most numbers in Revelation, we should not take this one literally, as in, you know, if there were 30 billion angels, Satan took 10 billion of them, and God was left with 20 billion of them. We shouldn't take it that way. But what we should do is consider that it is a sizable portion of the angelic host, but not a majority. And so Satan has a host. He has a host of demons, principalities, and powers, and they rule over this world. Very clearly in Paul's letters and language, he talks about the powers and the principalities of this age, and he's talking about Satan and his horde of demonic influences, fallen angels. Now, what's the dragon doing? He stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Think about Herod and his command to kill all of the babies of Bethlehem. That was satanic. That was a satanic infanticide designed to kill the Son of God as he was coming into the world. But she gave birth to a male child, Jesus, one who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That is Psalm 2 being fulfilled. So you should go back and read Psalm 2 and see that he is the king appointed by God to rule over the world, and he rules the nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Nothing that Satan threw at Jesus, nothing that Satan tried against Jesus worked. Jesus conquered. He overcame every temptation and became our perfect righteousness. He went to the cross and bore our sins in his body on the tree. He rose again from the dead and defeated death and Hades. He rose up, ascended into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father, where he rules. And so he is the victorious one. But the woman, who is now the church, still spiritual Israel, but now we could refer to her as the church, one and the same, spiritual Israel, the church. She flees into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. This is the same period of time as the period of time that the witnesses, the two witnesses from chapter 11, are given to bear their testimony. This is the same church age, the same time between Christ's ascension and the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost and his coming again. In other words, between his first and second comings, the age of the Spirit, the age of the gospel, the age of the new covenant, the age of the church. That is what this 1260 days is. It's also going to be referred to as a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years. So that is one perspective on what happens. Now we get another perspective. We're going to go up into heaven and see the heavenly perspective. That was, as it were, a symbolic representation of what was happening on earth. Here's what's happening in heaven: war. And the two sides in the war, Michael the archangel fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fighting back. But the dragon's defeated, and there's no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God." When was Satan thrown down? He was thrown down when Jesus defeated him. He's not in the lake of fire yet, but he loses his place in heaven. He loses his standing before God. Remember the book of Job? Satan is able to appear before God along with the sons of God and bring accusation against Job and plot harm against Job because he had some standing in heaven. Why did he have standing in heaven? Because he had legitimate accusations to bring against the people of God. And those accusations gave him standing in God's throne room. But he has been thrown down. And scripture tells us about this in a few different places. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, when he sent out the 72 to go and minister, he told them when they came back, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now he's seeing this coming, but it actually happens in the death and resurrection of Jesus when our debt is canceled. And we see this in Colossians 2, right? "You who were dead in the trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And by doing so, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." Or Hebrews 2 puts it this way: "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." So Satan was cast out of heaven and cast down to the earth when Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again to overthrow his dominion of death. And so there's a voice in heaven that the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. This happens when Jesus ascends to heaven and takes his place, when he takes the scroll, Revelation 5, and begins to open its seals, Revelation 6. He is king. He has received the kingdom and the authority. He has thrown down Satan from heaven. Believers, we need to know that. We need to believe that. This is not something that's going to happen in the future. This is something that has already happened. And we need to know that because we're still involved in this war. Satan's down here on the earth, and he's accusing us, and he's attacking us. And how are we going to overcome him? We can overcome him with the confidence of knowing that Christ rules in heaven. He is on the higher throne. He has the higher authority. He has thrown down our accuser. And we conquer him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, verse 11. I'm tempted to preach here. We conquer him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony when we love not our lives even unto death. We don't defeat him by political organizations. We don't defeat him in the ballot box. He's not up for election, and neither is Jesus. We don't defeat him in a culture war. We don't defeat him by getting on social media and posting really angry memes that are going to convince people of how right we are. We conquer the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony when we love not our lives even unto death. We say, I believe in Jesus. Jesus is the King. He is coming again, and I stand with him no matter what. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Do you know that we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus positionally? We are sons of God. We are heirs of salvation, and we can rejoice. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. The devil has great wrath because he knows his days are numbered. And so when the dragon is thrown down to the earth, he pursues the woman. This is now the church. Satan persecutes the church, but God protects the church. She's given two wings of the great eagle that she might fly. This is supernatural protection, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. 3.5 years, it's the same as the 1260 days. It's the same as 42 months. This time signature shows up again and again in Revelation. It's the second half of Daniel's 70th week. There's 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 10, 69 weeks before the coming of the Messiah. The first half of the week is the ministry and death of the Messiah and resurrection. The second half of the week is the church age. It's one of the greatest distortions for people, some Bible teachers, to take that 70th week and make it some future tribulation and the reign of the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation. No, that's not what it's about. The second half of that week is where we're living in now. It's the church age. And I think Revelation is given to show us that. It's given to show us that this is us. This is what we're living with now. Verses 15 and 16 refer to something that happened in history. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood, but the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon poured out from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring. There was an intense persecution in Jerusalem among the Jewish Christians when the church was relatively small. It was spearheaded in large measure by the Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul. And when Saul of Tarsus was converted and became the Apostle Paul, this flood that was threatening to sweep away the church became dissipated as the church spread out throughout the world and became the church of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, not just a Jewish sect. And now Satan has gone to make war on the rest of her offspring, which I believe is a reference to the largely Gentile Christians. Those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's you and I. If we believe in Jesus and if we follow God, this is us. And so Satan is out to get us. He's going to persecute us. He's going to persecute us for the entire church age. We should never expect anything else. The Apostle Paul said, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But we already have the victory. We don't need to fight. We just need to speak our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, when we love not our lives, even unto death, overcomes because Christ has already overcome. So we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, in the words of Romans 8. And we can rejoice in that. But expect persecution. Don't be surprised by it. Don't think, oh, I wish we could have the good old days when Christians were loved and cherished. That's not normal. That's not what we're called to. We're called to faithfulness, perseverance, testimony, courage. And we're called to be persecuted and to love not our lives, even unto death. Christ has already won the victory. He's already seated on his throne in heaven. He's already overcome. Satan's already been kicked out of heaven. His days are numbered. Don't let him, in his limited number of days, terrify you into either silence or compromise. Because the king has already conquered, and we belong to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our conquering king. We thank you for the one who has overcome the devil, who has defeated him, and who will bring his days to a final end when he comes again. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can follow you. We can stand for you. We can bear witness for you. We don't have to try to fight in a worldly way, using tactics and strategies to try to win. We already have the victory. And it's a victory that nothing in this world can touch. And it's a victory that nothing in this world could achieve. Jesus is. You are, Lord Jesus, our victory. So, Holy Spirit, strengthen our hearts. Help us to stand in faith, to stand for Christ. Faithful. Help us to love not our lives, even unto death. For we know the one who has the keys of death and Hades. We know the one who is the resurrection and the life. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. I went a little bit long this morning, but it's such a great passage, and I really want you to really treasure it and know it and live it. It's something that we all need to have informing our imagination and directing our lives. We will be back here, Lord willing, on Wednesday morning for Revelation chapter 13. Have a blessed day in the Lord.